Chapter 21. Escorted by the Emperor's bodyguard, I said with unobtrusive frankness that I was astonished that such a long-legged, lantern-jawed, unprepossessing-looking specter as he should be singled out for a distinction like that, and asked how it came about. He said he had attended a great military review in the Champ de Mars some time ago, and while the multitude about him was growing thicker and thicker every moment, he observed an open space inside the railing. He left his carriage and went into it. He was the only person there, and so he had plenty of room, and the situation being central, he could see all the preparations going on about the field. By and by there was a sound of music, and soon the Emperor of the French and the Emperor of Austria, escorted by the famous scent guards, entered the enclosure. They seemed not to observe him, but directly, in response to a sign from the commander of the guard, a young lieutenant came toward him with a file of his men following, halted, raised his hand, and gave the military salute, and then said in a low voice, that he was sorry to have to disturb a stranger and a gentleman, but the place was sacred to royalty. Then this New Jersey phantom rose up and bowed and begged pardon, then with the officer beside him, the file of men marching behind him, and with every mark of respect, he was escorted to his carriage by the Imperial Scent Guards. The officer saluted again and fell back, the New Jersey sprite bowed in return, and had presence of mind enough to pretend that he had simply called on a matter of private business with those emperors, and so waved the man adieu, and drove from the field. Imagine a poor Frenchman ignorantly intruding upon a public rostrum sacred to some sixpenny dignitary in America. The police would scare him to death first with a storm of their elegant blasphemy, and then pull him to pieces getting him away from there. We are measurably superior to the French in some things, but they are immeasurably our betters in others. Enough of Paris for the present. We have done our whole duty by it. We have seen the Tuileries, the Napoleon Column, the Madeleine, that wonder of wonders the tomb of Napoleon, all the great churches and museums, libraries, imperial palaces, and sculpture and picture galleries, the Pantheon, Jardin des Plantes, the opera, the circus, the legislative body, the billiard rooms, the barbers, the grisettes, the grisettes. I had almost forgotten. They are another romantic fraud. They were, if you let the books of travel tell it, always, so beautiful, so neat and trim, so graceful, so naive and trusting, so gentle, so winning, so faithful to their shop duties, so irresistible to buyers, in their prattling importunity, so devoted to their poverty-stricken students of the Latin Quarter, so light-hearted and happy on their Sunday picnics in the suburbs, and oh, so charmingly, so delightfully immoral. Stuff. For 3 or 4 days I was constantly saying, "Quick, Ferguson, is that a grisette?" And he always said, "No." He comprehended at last that I wanted to see a grisette. Then he showed me dozens of them. They were like nearly all the French women I ever saw, homely. They had large hands, large feet, large mouths. They had pug noses as a general thing, and mustaches that not even good breeding could overlook. They combed their hair straight back without parting. They were ill-shaped, they were not winning, they were not graceful. I knew by their looks that they ate garlic and onions. And lastly and finally, to my thinking it would be base flattery to call them immoral. Errant thee, wench. I sorrow for the vagabond student of the Latin Quarter now, even more than formerly I envied him. Thus topples to earth another idol of my infancy. We have seen everything, and tomorrow we go to Versailles. We shall see Paris only for a little while as we come back, to take up our line of march for the ship, and so I may as well bid the beautiful city a regretful farewell. We shall travel many thousands of miles after we leave here and visit many great cities, but we shall find none so enchanting as this. Some of our party have gone to England, intending to take a roundabout course and rejoin the vessel at Leghorn or Naples several weeks hence. We came near going to Geneva, but have concluded to return to Marseille, and go up through Italy from Genoa. I will conclude this chapter with a remark, that I am sincerely proud to be able to make, and glad, as well, that my comrades cordially endorse it, to wit. By far the handsomest women we have seen in France were born and reared in America. I feel now like a man who has redeemed a failing reputation, and shed luster upon a dim discussion, by a single just deed done at the 11th hour. Let the curtain fall, to slow music. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.